Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Feast of Trumpets 2015. Time marches right along. Here we are with the fall festival season right upon us. And soon we will have the Feast of Tabernacles after the Day of Atonement. And all of these are very important things to God. Remember, the law of God is perfect. And so, no man can improve upon God. We need to remember that. And we need to understand that God is the one who has called us. And we answer the call. But we do the things that God wants us to do His way, not our way. One of the reasons why the Feast of Trumpets pictures the most devastating and destructive time in the history of mankind since the flood is because men have not learned the lesson. You must come to God His way, and you must believe God, and you must obey God. And of course, this follows through with everything that God does. Now let's come to Leviticus 23. And this is always a test of faith, because God put all of the holy days in sequence, naming the day, numbering the day, counting the day for Pentecost as a test of faith. Do we believe God? Do we love God? And if we do, God will show us and teach us His understanding. He will open the mystery of His word to us, which then are called by Jesus the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And one of the great mysteries is the return of Jesus Christ. So let's begin here in Leviticus 23 and verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of ram's horns, a holy convocation. Now, ram's horn is the trumpet to be blown when there is war. So the Feast of Trumpets is a war feast. Now, let's look at this again here for just a minute, okay? All holy days are called a Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath is called the Sabbath. So that's important to understand. All the holy days are Sabbaths. And he says, you shall do no servile work, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now today we don't bring the animals. We don't have an altar on the earth for physical sacrifices. But we are to give of our substance to the Lord. Now, God will bless us in giving an offering. Now, I know there's some people who are very fastidious and say that it says in Deuteronomy 16 that three seasons, unleavened bread, feast of weeks, and tabernacles, and you are to bring an offering. That is true. But does that exclude and not count trumpets as well? When it says we're to bring an offering in Leviticus 23, that should be sufficient for us. And so we always take up an offering on the holy day, and particularly what this day pictures with the return of Christ and all the events at the end of the age. Yes, we need to bring God an offering. So we'll take a pause, and we will take up an offering at this time. Now let's continue the unfolding of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And we saw on Pentecost that day 49 pictures the opening of the heavens for the first phase of the return of Jesus Christ. And that first phase is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, which then will appear as a second sun. Then we have the sealing of the 144,000 in Revelation 7. Now let's come to Revelation 8. And let's pick up the flow of events from there. And remember, as I covered on Pentecost, you have from next to the last Pentecost to the last Pentecost, which is the resurrection. Then you have another line below that, which is from trumpets to the return of Jesus Christ. And the seventh trumpet is the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is phase two of the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we will come back to that, phase two, and then we will go into phase three, because that is going to be awesome indeed. But come back here to Revelation, the eighth chapter. And here is where all the prophecies at the end time shift. Now then, it is the angels of God versus Satan, the devil, and the demons, and the men who are following Satan, the armies that Satan has raised up. And we will see how God deals with these things, and every one of these plagues that come, that we find in Revelation 8 and 9, as well as Revelation 16, those all go back to the weapons that God used against the Egyptians to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So now the scene is, we're at the point when the first trumpet blows, there is 1 year until the saints come with Christ back to the earth. And that 1 year is going to be the most devastating year in the history of mankind from the time of the flood until the end. And as we can see by reading chapters 8 and 9, which we will do, there are great and fantastic weapons that will be employed, and that man will not be satisfied until he has fought to the very end. So let's begin chapter 8, verse 1. Now when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar and put much incense, and much incense was given to him, so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up before God from the hand of the angel ascending with the prayers of the saints. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. Direct intervention by God. Here men are over here fighting one another. All of a sudden the heavens rip open. The last part of chapter 6, and the sign of the Son of Man appear. There is quietness for a space of time for the 144,000. So you count that space from Pentecost until trumpets of the year that it occurs. Then starts all the devastation prophesied in the Old Testament. We will look at that. And this is quite a thing. These are earth-shaking, to say the least, events. So he took it from the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, you'll notice going through the book of Revelation, there are many, numerous earthquakes that take place. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound their trumpet. Now there is a sequence of seven trumpets. The first one, the last one. So the last trumpet, as we saw in Pentecost, is the resurrection. So here's the first one. And the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was hail mingled with blood, and it was cast upon the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now these come, you will notice, 1, 2, 3, 4. Very quickly in a row. Same way with the seven last plagues. One, two, three, four. Then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and there was cast into the sea, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Absolute devastation beyond belief. And a third of the angel, and a third angel sounded his trumpet. And there fell from heaven a great star, burning like a lamp. And it fell on a third part of the rivers and on the fountains of water. Now the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from drinking the waters because they were made bitter. Now these things are going to just be so devastating upon the earth. Great and fantastic events that will not ever be repeated again in the same way. Then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was spent in a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of them, a third part of the day did not shine, and likewise a third part of the night. Now right here is exactly why no man knows the day or the hour exactly, but we do know the times and the seasons, and those are depicted by the appointed times of God, the holy days of God. Now let's finish chapter 8. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. Now notice, God always gives warnings, doesn't he? So here it is. Woe, woe, woe to those who are dwelling on the earth because of the voices of the remaining trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound their trumpets. Now, this is going to be quite a thing, especially the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet. And, of course, the seventh one, then, is the resurrection. Now, before we get into reading chapter 9 concerning the great wars that will take place, let's come back to Joel, the second chapter, and let's see that these things were prophesied, not only in the book of Joel, but in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Jeremiah. Okay? So let's come back here to Joel. You have Hosea, then Joel. So Joel, the second chapter. Here it starts out. Now notice how this parallels very closely what we have already read. And what happens in Revelation 8 and 9, that fills us in on the details of what was given here in the Old Testament. And remember, from the blowing of the first trumpet until the saints and Christ come back to the earth, the next trumpet is 1 year, just like the sealing of the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude to the resurrection is 1 year from Pentecost to Pentecost. So trumpets in fulfillment is from trumpets to trumpets, 1 year. So let's pick it up here, Joel 2. Now, the memorial of the blowing of trumpets is a war feast. Verse 1, blow the ram's horn in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes. It is near at hand. Well, we're reading of it back there in Revelation. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Didn't we read that? Isn't it interesting that the gospel is preached in the Old Testament as well as the New? That's why they are together like a hand in a glove. They give us the full picture of what's going to take place. As the morning is spread across the mountains, so comes a great people, a mighty people. There has never been the like, nor shall there ever be again, even to the years of many generations. That's our time. Verse 3, fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. And the land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is the appearance of horses, and as war horses, so they run. Now we will see how aptly this fits in with the description there in Revelation 9. They shall leap with the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, with the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, like a mighty people set in battle array. In their presence the people shall greatly tremble, all faces shall grow pale. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march each one in his path, and they shall not break ranks, and each one shall not crowd another. They shall go every one in his own path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Amazing to think about that, isn't it? Yes, indeed. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the window like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon shall grow dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. That is exactly what it says in the book of Revelation. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his armies, for his camp is exceedingly great, for powerful is he who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Well, there will be some people who will live through it. Very few, and we will see. This involves every nation in the world. So when we get to the book of Revelation, it talks about all nations. This is why the gospel is preached as a witness to all nations. This is why God has the two witnesses there in Jerusalem to be a witness. This is going to be the greatest, most fantastic event that is pictured by the Feast of Trumpets that has been, as I said, in the history of man. Now let's come and see some other things concerning how this is going to involve the whole world. Let's come to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah 24. Now, as we will see when we put these various descriptions together, along with the book of Revelation, this gives us a vast picture of how this is going to affect everything on the earth. Because the return of Jesus Christ is going to be awesome indeed. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. He turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. As it is with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth shall be completely laid waste and utterly stripped, for the Lord has spoken this word. Now stop and think for just a minute. As we've covered how many times, God fulfills all the prophecies to the maximum. So when these things happen, they are going to be complete and devastated. Notice verse 4. The earth mourns and languishes. The earth withers and languishes. The proud people of the earth wither. the earth is defiled under its people because, notice why this is coming. And this will help you understand why the lawlessness at the end of this age is going to be so overwhelming. And let me just mention this. It's going to be difficult to really be a true Christian through all of these things. But God will give us the strength. God will grant us his spirit. All right? Let's go on. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and have broken the everlasting covenant. Now, the everlasting covenant is the covenant unto eternal life, because it will go on into the ages of eternity. Now, this aptly describes the way that the religions of this world are toward God, including the Christianity of this world. Therefore, here is the effect. We read the cause. The curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the people of the earth are burned, and few men are left. So when God sets his hand for judgment, now let's come to Isaiah. Let's come to Isaiah 13, and let's see what it says there. Isaiah 13 and verse 1. The burden of Babylon. What is the end time called? Babylon the Great, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Exalt the voice to them. Wave the hand so that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my holy ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even those who rejoice in my triumph. Now that's all the angels of God, and that's all the saints of God. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations. That is all-encompassing, isn't it? Now we will see how all of this is brought out in final detail and moving toward the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. Noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together, and the Lord of hosts gathers an army for battle. They come from a far country, the kings of the east. From the end of heaven, the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. Woe! Howl! For the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Quite a thing. Yes, come on down here. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, both cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation. He shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of the heavens and the constellations shall not give light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not reflect its light. Exactly what we read in the book of Revelation, right? Yes, indeed. For the stars of heavens, we read that, verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil. Now, what I want you to do is understand how these prophecies encompass the world, all nations, kingdoms, all peoples, and how that no one is going to escape. For I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of tyrants. I will make man more scarce than gold, even man more than the fine gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Again, it talks about shaking the heavens and the earth. And the earth shall move out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Those are really quite some words. Now let's come to Jeremiah 25, and we will see, yes, this is going to involve all nations. No one is going to escape. No one is going to get away from it. Now, they may survive. There's going to be a number of people who will survive because it says there are a few men left. And they will survive through these things. And just think of the trauma that they will have experienced and how that is going to be quite a job for us at the beginning of the millennium. Need to understand, this is going to be awesome indeed. Now here, Jeremiah 25, let's pick it up in verse 26. Now after listing all the kings, God told Jeremiah, take this cup at my hand and go to all the nations that I tell you. And it lists all of them through all the verses leading up to verse 26. But 26 then begins to expand it out to the whole world. Verse 26, all the kings of the north, far and near one with another, all the kingdoms of the world. Now, is that all encompassing or not? Yes, it is. Which are on the face of the earth. Now, here it speaks about the beast of Revelation 13. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk, and vomit and fall and rise no more, because of the sword that I will send among you. And it shall come to pass, if they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And you shall go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Now that is going to be profound. We will see how all of this fits in Revelation 9. And then expands out into Revelation 16 as well. Verse 31, a noise shall come to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be stirred up from the furthest corners of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be mourned, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be as dung upon the ground. Howl, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, you lords of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your scattering are fulfilled, and you shall fall like a choice vessel. Amazing. Absolutely stunning, all of this. Now let's come back to Revelation, the 9th chapter, and let's see how this fits in. Let's see how God puts it all together. So this is why we take part of it from the Old Testament, part of it from the New Testament, from the book of Revelation, so we can understand and get a full picture of what is going to happen. Now this is why that the gospel is preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. All nations are involved. All people are involved. God is going to make a statement that is going to be absolutely so profound and so devastating. He's going to do it. He's going to use the armies to do it. He is going to use Satan the devil to do it. He's going to use his angels to do it. He's going to use the demons to do it. This is an all-out battle of a magnitude that is almost beyond the scope of our imagination. Now let's pick it up, chapter 9. Again, notice how it's angels of God and demons and Satan the devil. Verse 1, chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and there was given to him the key of the bottomless abyss. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And locusts came unto the earth from the smoke. And power was given to them as scorpions of the earth have power. These are demonic powers let out of the demonic prison, the abyss. Some places in the King James, that's called the bottomless pit, but the abyss. And it was said to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only, the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. So this shows that the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude have not ascended to heaven yet. They have, because they won't ascend until the seventh trump is blown, and then they will ascend to meet Christ on the sea of glass. Now, the reason that there are trees and the reason that there is grass is because a third were previously burned up. But when it's dark, when it's cloudy, what automatically comes with that? Rain. Now, trees and grass have no understanding about devastation. If it rains, it grows, regardless of what men do. So, however long it takes for the first four plagues to take place, by the time it gets to the fifth trumpet plague, there has been time for the grass to grow and some of the trees to recover. Now, verse 5, all the rest, and this is probably from the king of the north who comes down out of Europe, okay, against the king of the south. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And then in those days they're going to seek death and won't find it. Death will flee from them. Verse 7, and the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for war, and on their heads were crowns like those of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions. And they had breastplates like iron. So here is the greatest armament, the greatest weapons that men have been able to devise, and with the technology of Satan the devil, and with the demons, and with Satan, all working this together. They had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And they had tails like scorpions and stingers, and they were given power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. And they have a king over them. See, Satan is leading the battle. The angel of the abyss, his name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and his name that he has in Greek is Apollyon. Interesting, isn't it? Now then it says, the first woe is past. Behold, after these things come two more woes are still to come. Then the sixth angel sounded. Now notice these follow along. And these great battles take place. Now, this is going to be the greatest thing because, as we will see here, there has never been an army like this. An army so vast that it's going to stretch from the Holy Land all the way back to the Far East. And right now, The Chinese are building the highway going west, and they're building a highway from Afghanistan down to Pakistan. So it will go from Pakistan on down there, and there will be Pakistanis involved. And they're going to build a pipeline down to India. India will be involved, all the kings of the East. And that army will be strung out for thousands of miles. You can't get, as we will see, 200 million men in one place. So they will come like waves. And this is going to be a great battle. All right, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Set for the time. Notice. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were loosed. So God is right on schedule, isn't he? So that they might kill a third of men. Now you talk about how devastating this is going to be. Think about it for a minute. Revelation 6, those wars and famines kill a fourth of men. So that leaves three quarters of them left. So then another third of those who are still alive, this means that half of the men in the world are going to die between chapter 6 and chapter 9. Maybe even more than that when you count all the things that are going to take place. And remember what it said in Jeremiah, that the dead will be strung from one end of the earth to the other, and they won't be buried, as we will see in Revelation 19. That all the fowl of the air are going to eat up their flesh. Quite a thing. This is going to be awesome indeed. Now let's read on. Verse 16. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million. Now understand this, in World War II, the maximum they had under arms, counting all of those who were not involved in combat, was 50,000. So think, not 50,000, 50 million, beg your pardon. And 50 million is what? One-fourth of what this is, not counting what the armies of the beast were. This is something. Now here's what they look like. And I saw the horses in the vision and those sitting on them, who had fiery breastplates, even like Jasonath and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and fire and smoke and brimstone shoot out of their mouths, shooting, killing, missiles, all of this going on. By these three, a third of men were killed by fire and the smoke and the brimstone that came out of their mouths, and their powers in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents and they have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. Now notice there are still people alive. You know, even in the greatest disasters, it's quite a wondrous thing how many people survive, even buried under rubble of buildings. So think of this, verse 20. But the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands. So these are men with super modern high-tech weapons. Some of the things are developing right now. Okay? They didn't repent. Now I wonder what would happen if they would repent. But they won't. Did not repent of the works of their hands that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have power to see, nor to hear, nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thievery. an amazing thing. This is going to be some battle, but we're going to see God is going to do even greater than this. Now, chapter 10 is the seven thunders, and John was told not to write those. So we don't know what that's going to be, and we don't know how devastating that will be. But let's come to chapter 11. The second woe is past, verse 14. And the third woe is coming immediately. And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, this is the resurrection on Pentecost. Now, as we will see, this leads into the third phase of the return of Christ. The first phase is the sign of the Son of Man appearing as a sun. The second phase takes place right here, just right before the resurrection. The sun comes streaking to the earth and right over the Holy Land. Whoo! A vast sea of glass will appear. And then the resurrection takes place. And we meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass. Now then, that is, we covered on Pentecost all the fantastic things that will take place at that point. All right? So the seventh trumpet sounded. Now then, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back and see how we come from the last Pentecost and the resurrection to the last trumpets and Christ and the saints coming to the earth.